Hello, and welcome to the Grand Cast, Season 3 premiere, episode number 1. Today is Friday, June the 30th of the year 2017. My guest this late afternoon, early evening, Alistair Watt, the one and only.
Hi there.
Thank you for being here this late evening, or late afternoon, early evening.
Mm-hmm.
Al,
glad to be here.
Just want to start out by mentioning that this is the first episode of the new season,
mm-hmm.
The season premiere, which is a fresh start. A new beginning. So I would like to read a short excerpt about New Beginnings.
I like that.
New Beginnings is a locally owned and operated company that was established in 1981. It's a family-friendly restaurant, and we strive to create a comfortable at-home, quote-unquote at-home, atmosphere. Serving fresh food in large portions, it's our goal to leave Grand Rapids, ampersand its surrounding areas, feeling full and happy. Now, the mission statement of the Grand Cast, still the same as it was at the end of last season, which is the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. We also have two goals for the show, the first being to post one new episode weekly, which has been happening for 24 weeks. Damn. Now, more or less. Second goal is to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content.
I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see.
We'll see.
At least with this one. I'm sure it has quality content all throughout the seasons.
I will do my part to make it happen.
I will give it my all.
Your Al?
My Al. I will give her my A1 steak sauce.
Mm.
How my name kind of looks on paper.
You're a steak sauce guy?
No.
Oh.
But when I write my name, it's A, and then it looks like the number one.
Oh.
A1 steak sauce. Sometimes my nickname.
A1?
Yeah.
All right. I hadn't heard that before. It wasn't included in my prep documents.
Oh, it's all right. Not many people call me that besides myself when I'm signing my name, and they're like, yeah, it's like A1, but it's an L. It's one of those things, like when I say my last name, Watt. Yeah, it's Alistair Watt. Watt like a light bulb, W-A-T-T.
Watt.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Watt.
Was Mr. Watt a person? Did he work for Mr. Edison?
Maybe. I hope so. I don't think so. I haven't done any research. I don't think he was.
No relation?
No.
Oh.
No. Apparently, my ancestry is the Highlanders.
From the movie?
Not the movie, but maybe the movie.
Hmm.
So I might have to find each one, and that's how it goes. And you kill them, and then you're the most powerful.
There can be only
one, right?
Unless they make an alliance.
Or a sequel. There a sequel? There is.
There's like 12 of them, I think.
And then there's the remake of Jet Li, the one, which is basically the Highlanders, but in different time.
That was a weird movie.
I enjoyed Jason Statham's like entrance. For me, that was one of the first movies I saw Jason Statham. And I enjoyed it.
There was a lot of Jet Lis in that, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like some sort of parallel dimension wormhole?
And Jason Statham was the police officer traveling through time to stop all of them. And there was one every time you kill one, you get stronger. Highlander. I recommend it.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that movie in a long time, but it was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. I wonder if it holds up. Have you watched it recently?
I feel like Jason Statham...
Timeless.
He's timeless. And it's Jet Li. When they try to recreate a movie with them too, and now, and it just doesn't work.
Mm.
Then again, you got Jackie Chan's new movie coming out, The Foreigner.
Yeah?
And have you seen the preview?
No.
Oh, you should check it out. It's... Someone says it looks like Taken. I think it looks more like... Not Gamer. It has Gerard Butler in it. Where he goes to prison because his family was killed. basically his daughter doesn't get taken. His daughter gets murdered by a terrorist. So Jackie Chan's dad's body decides to find out who did it and take care of the issue. And the people that know who did it are American government. He starts attacking them because they won't give him the info.
So a little Jason Bourne in there too.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting. Getting into the fresh interview questions. What is your favorite color?
Oh, royal blue or purple.
Nice.
I liked blue and yellow growing up. The Blue Ranger, the Yellow Ranger were my favorite. I liked Michigan not because of the team, but the colors. Yes.
What is your least favorite color?
As much as I don't really... Growing up was pink because I'm a boy, and boys think pink are gross, but I want to say now it's probably going to be orange. But I don't know. I like all the colors of the rainbow. They're all really delightful.
What about colors that aren't in the rainbow?
All the different spectrums.
Like brown? Is brown... Brown's not in the rainbow.
No, it's not. But I do like brown. It brings out my eyes. So I like to wear brown. Brown and green. I have greenish brown eyes. Hazel if someone... But what is hazel? There's like four definitions of hazel. It's bluish green or it's a brownish green. It only can be one of those.
I don't know.
I don't have to ask.
Question for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to be transformed into an animal, which animal would you choose to be?
This is a difficult question. Because obviously everyone would want to be a domesticated cat in a good family. But...
Even though you would be... Like your sexual organs would be physically removed from you without your consent?
You know how much easier life would be without those?
No.
Neither do I. But it seems pretty spectacular. My main favorite animal is a snake. And I probably have to go with snake.
Really?
Yeah, I'm born 1989. Huh. I'm a snake in the zodiacs or whatever it is, the Chinese zodiacs. So snake is usually my go-to. I do love bears, though. A bear would be pretty awesome. So I guess a cat, a snake, or a bear, if you could do all three at once.
Some sort of amalgamation of...
If I could anamorph, it'd be weird.
What if you constantly transitioned between the three?
Oh, that'd be magical. I would... Yeah. What is it? Do you read Harry Potter? What's it called when you only can do when you can transition into an animal? I think it's
polymorph or something.
Yeah, it's his uncle can do it, and he does wolves. Everyone else has a different animal they can do. If I could do all three, I could do anything.
Anything except fly.
Yeah, I didn't pick anyone that has the one ability that seems logical to pick to travel and like see the world. I pick stationary hibernating animals that shed their skin and purr.
Interesting. What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
My earliest memory of experience comedy. I might have to say The Goonies. Growing up, that's my go-to movie. I still will watch it to this day. And just the whole thing about The Goonies is hilarious. And then I love Cyndi Lauper. Great soundtrack. She's on it. You should check it out. But I also performed comedy when I was younger. I was in Odyssey of the Mind. And I think we started that in second grade after Boy Scouts. But before then, I think it's just going to be Disney movies, like especially the remake of Beauty and the Beast. Gaston, like the Beast, the little French candlestick. Aladdin's comical...
Lumiere.
I have a hard time talking sometimes, but Lumiere. But probably Disney movies and Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes probably number one. Beavis and Butthead too. Rock with Modern Life. I watched a lot of TV growing up.
Yeah, me too. America.
America. Here's your ramen noodles and your Nickelodeon. By the way, if anyone wonders, I'm on Drake's side.
Drake?
The Josh and Drake debacle. Have you seen the TV show Josh and Drake? Drake and Josh, I mean.
The Canadian rapper?
No.
Oh.
Drake and Josh was a Nickelodeon TV sitcom that was inspired from All That cast member Amanda Bynes, who got her own show. And then they were two of the people on it. And then they had a show for probably 5 to 10 years. And recently, Josh had a wedding. And he was this pudgy kid that became this handsome-looking man. And I am amazed we're even talking about this. But it is relevant to current internet trolling. But if you just Google, whenever you guys get a chance, Drake and Josh, Drake didn't go to Josh's wedding because he didn't get an invite.
Hmm.
And then you bring in the little sister Megan from the TV show. She's now involved in the whole thing, too. It's one of my favorite things right now.
Hmm.
So, Goonies.
Goonies. How did you first get involved in performing comedy?
That's probably going to be Odyssey of the Mind. If you don't know what it is, I think it's not Michigan, but it's called OM now. I don't know if they had to change the name from one of them because legality reasons, but OM is basically where students from first grade to senior year get together with 4 to 10 other students, and a parent or a guardian is involved in directing them, and what they will get is basically, there's going to be 7 problems they can choose from. Each will be a different thing. One will be like, one we had to make a play using 3 idioms and making them relevant and making them visual and actually making the idioms real. Another one would be more of a scientific, like almost a Science of Olympiad style project where you have to build a contraption to catch something or something along those lines. We always went, my mom was my coach, and so was Ian Burry's dad. Mr. Burry, he called me Big Al, but Odyssey of the Mind is how I got into the comedy and the theater world. But it was weird because we never had theater in my high school, so it took a lot of things like civic theater, going to CMU, transferring to Western, becoming a third shift server at Steak and Shake to learn stand-up comedy as an option for anyone to do a 5-minute open mic. Me having not really a drinking problem, but I would get so trashed before I went on stage. I don't remember what I was doing, to learning that you need to be sober before you go on stage. In so many words, Steak and Shake and Odyssey of the Mind are the two things that kind of put me in towards comedy.
Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry if I rambled too much. You can let me know.
No, ramble away.
Oh, because I could go on for days about Steak and Shake. And then,
oh, please. Fries.
The fries are delicious, especially if they have seasoning on them, the specialty seasoning. But I mean, there was a guy named So Rob who got me on my first open mic, and I told the story about, and mind you, I never thought anyone could just do stand-up comedy. Literally anyone can do stand-up comedy. It's the easiest thing you can do. You got to go to a bar, check. You got to talk to people, sometimes hard. But then it's easy. I told my first one was when I was I use this term where it's not properly used, but I was raped by a dog in third grade where he pinned me down and humped me until he came in front of my friends and family and then ran away. And then I went home and my coat was wet and my mom asked what was wrong. So I told that story in 5 minutes because it's a longer story, but that's it simply put in its steps. Friend's house, golden retriever named Chief, humps me, comes on me, runs away, and I go home sad. So, and then once stand-up led me to Second City. And Second City, I studied there. Can't wait to go back. That's my main goal, is to be on SNL. So, I didn't even like SNL that much growing up. I wasn't allowed to watch it. Too much politics.
Second City in Chicago?
Yes, specifically that one. Toronto was there. And online courses, but I'll probably start doing online courses a little more now that I'm stationary.
Hmm. I didn't know they had online courses.
Yeah, the one I really want to take is satirical comedy. And it's about writing for, like, satire. I want to learn more about writing for politics, writing jokes for Conan or any late-night talk show. And then there's also, like, if you look into Second City's online classes, they're only like $175 for 6 weeks. And basically, you'll send in your work. Someone grades it, it looks like. I haven't done it, so I might be wrong. But that's what I really am probably going to do in the next couple weeks.
Nice. Let's talk about late night GR.
Late Night GR. I would sing a theme song, but we don't have one. So if anyone out, if anyone out there wants to write us a theme song, Late Night GR is a comedy sketch group based here in GR Grand Rapids.
Oh, that's what the GR stands for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What other things it could stand for? We got GR, Great Repertoire.
Yeah. Greasy Realism.
Greasy Realism. That's a good one. Grassy Rats.
Granny Rampage.
Granny Rampage. We should have these on our shirts. But yeah, no, it stands for Grand Rapids. And it's funny because I went to Second City and that's what made me. So I founded the group and I had a lot of help from Sean Francis, who helped gather people. And my friend Audrey Stein, who's in Chicago now. If you know Cameron, was Cameron on here? Have you done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was number 3.
If you go back to episode 3, Cameron's dating Audrey, but that's none of the point. Audrey was someone I worked with Outback. But before I got Audrey, I tried to make Late Night Grand Rapids happen with other people. And there was about 5 or 6 of us. And we all got together. I told them what I wanted to do. We met in a one-act play festival. And I was like, I want to make a sketch comedy group. Second City was amazing. Let's do this. So they're like, yeah. And we meet. And then suddenly there's 2 bongs and a bowl being passed around. And I'm like, okay, this is the first meeting. We got to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have a second meeting. The same thing happens, but we order pizza. And if you've seen Late Night Grand Rapids, if you've seen that 70s show where they all get high and they record themselves, that's what we did. We put the phone in the middle and recorded ourselves. And we thought we would get sketch ideas from that. Mind you, when I say we, I don't feel like I am included. I was pretty, and I'm always pretty quiet. I avoid conflict. And our third meeting, we didn't even have because it stopped. And then a year later, Audrey brought Sean, and then Sean brought KJ and Danielle, and then we both knew Lori Zuzarski, if I can say her last name. And that's our sketch comedy group. And what we do is like if you watch the old Saturday Night Live where they have the stand-up host, specifically stand-up host, stand-up comedy host, come out and do 5 to 10 minutes. We usually like to have a live band, and then we do sketches. For about an hour, hour and a half. And our next show is August 25th. I know that's not for this part yet, but it's August 25th. It's going to be fun. This year's been a little rough for us compared to... Because it's our third year, basically, I think. We're going on... We just had a 2-year anniversary, so... I mean, I guess it's our 2-year going into 3 years.
Could you please talk about That's My Sitcom?
Yes, I would love to talk about That's My Sitcom. This is one of my brainchilds, and I think the potential on it is ridiculous because, so That's My Sitcom is a loosely improvised sitcom performed in front of a live audience, recorded and performed. The main idea with it is to do a loosely scripted improvised sitcom where we basically all come up, and we're gonna, over the next few months, you might see changes in it where we incorporate more improv notes in it with swipes, or like have someone in the audience while they're all coming in write catchphrases, and we put it in a hat and we draw it from the hat, we let the audience know that, and then we draw from another hat the number of times you have to say it. So you have to say dong, where's my dong, 32 times, and who has to say it out of the group? Laura. You have to figure out how to say dong, that's my dong. So those are the kind of games we're trying to play. I'm trying to help us play with more audience participation. And in a way, like, the loosely scripted part is coming during our commercials that hopefully will be filmed. But Josh Heller, one of another local improver and sketch and founder of a couple... He's in a couple groups, Planned Parenthood and Beer City Improv.
He's also the booking manager for the Grand Cast.
Welcome. This is Grand Cast. He is the book, and he is really good at it.
Yeah,
he harasses.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, cheers to Josh.
Cheers, Josh. I can stretch.
I was trying to clean it with the cymbals. Oh. That's better.
Yeah.
So, Josh is actually one of the regulars on the show too, and the basic idea is we're a sketch group, Late Night Grand Rapids, but Sean and I and a couple others do like the occasional improv. Especially we've added Stevie recently, which Stevie has been nothing but great. If I could say her last name, I would say it, but I can't. So the goal is to have the main core of our group perform and collaborate in an improvised fashion with members from other groups to bring us all together. Plus, Late Night Grand Rapids only usually has 4 to 5 shows a year. This gives us a monthly show, and it usually will be performed at Dog Story Theater on the last Monday of every month at Comedy Outlet Mondays, which is at 7 p.m.
On Monday?
On Monday, yes. Usually Mondays. They were trying to cancel this one.
I heard it got saved.
It did, because Orion Lathrop is bringing a bunch of Amway people.
Ah.
And they're going to come. So I'm not going to be co-hosting, but I might do on the scene report. But that's my sitcom. It's a fun thing where I can talk about it for hours, but we take inspirations from Friends, Scrubs, King of Queens, any sitcom we try to do in that style. So that's one reason we're going to more go towards the sitcom moves, where you can swipe or go to different scenes, because not all sitcoms are mono scenes, and sometimes that's really hard to accomplish when you aren't a core group of improvisers that work together every week. When we're bringing in guest stars and other people that aren't that experienced, swiping and using regular techniques like tag outs, or meanwhile in the 1800s, where his grandpa found the dictionary that his mama made, something like that, something stupid and ridiculous. And that's the goal, is to be stupid and ridiculous, yet to have a cohesive story to have the audience engaged with a couple of fun commercials that are there.
I enjoyed the prison episode last week.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you do? Do you mind if I ask you what you enjoyed about it? Because honestly, from my side, I felt like it was bombing so hard.
Oh.
Well, and it might
there
be the audience.
There was not a lot of people in the audience that week.
And
that was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was this last Monday.
Okay. It's been a long week.
I'll let you talk what you liked about it before I say what I didn't like about it. So the mono scenes worked, is what I'm asking for you.
Yeah, I enjoyed the dynamic of the prison guard and the prisoners, and like the introduction of a new prisoner.
Yeah. And with That's My Sitcom, he says the new prisoner was Seanster. One thing with the sitcom is we started at a bar, and we would try to branch off characters from the first one. And let's say the second episode, oh no, we're at someone's high school from the bar, and they're reminiscing, and then we go back in time. But now you met someone else from high school. Now we go to their world at their family house. So it's supposed to be, which Sean Francis kind of thought of, is to make that cohesive line where they all connect in the same realm of the same world, which is fun. So we've been branching out in that aspect and figuring out how that works and plays into it. But you like the prisoners and how the guard and interaction. Now, do you think you saw a beginning, a middle, and end? And then did you also see a follow-up question? In most sitcoms, there's three arcs. There's the big arc of the big conflict, and then there's a second arc, just a smaller conflict, and then just a mini conflict. Like, example would be, let's go Seinfeld. George wants to return his coat, or he wants that suit. Smaller conflict, but everyone's intertwined in it. Elaine wants this guy to stop dating her, but she can't because she can't get him in the airport. And then Seinfeld has to deal with his parents coming over. And then Kramer's this random guy. But there's those three arcs in a sitcom that I'm having trouble on seeing. I guess it's because I don't see it or the aftermath. So my question is, do you see a beginning, middle, end? And do you see story arcs?
I really didn't analyze it structurally. Oh. I just enjoyed watching it. But
well, that's great.
Now that I know what you're aiming for, then I'll pay closer attention in the next episode and try to do a scientific analysis of it for you.
I mean, as much as stupid as that sounds, I would enjoy that, because that's my goal, is to make it as much like a story sitcom in an improvised fashion, which is kind of hard to do because you have to figure out three different problems that you have to solve within 20 minutes in the improv, which sometimes can be pretty difficult.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Have you been a part of any other troops?
In Grand Rapids or anywhere?
Anywhere. But especially Grand Rapids.
I hosted a Beer City show at Ambrosia Theater that they killed it. They brought in a guest from Chicago, which they were phenomenal as well.
Little
but I
took Tooties?
Tooties? Yeah.
Tooties. I always say Tootsies, but Tooties.
I like Tootsies and Tooties.
That was a sold out show. It was great.
Yeah. And in a way, like, I was going to get into money and business. I'm a businessman, first and foremost. I'm money, and I like to and entertain. But if neither happened, I'm a little upset.
Hmm.
And if we entertained and we didn't make money, I'm fine. But if we made money and we can put it back into the project, I'm cool. And I feel like I want them to do more shows because I want to see if that what happened with late night. Because late night, we were selling out. And then we started, it's like a new restaurant opening. You get that eternal rush and everyone comes. All your friends come because they haven't seen it before because you've never done it. And now they stop coming because like, oh, it's just that again. So I am curious to see if that's a progression that happens with them. But if they're only doing one show a year, they're going to pack it out.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've been part of, there's Michigan Comics Network on Facebook, but that's not a group. That's just a place to book people and keep talk about comedy. I've been part of theater programs, but have I been with any groups? No. I want to say, I'm trying to rack my brain, but I want to say it's no, but there is a new development. Andy Cash, who I find hilarious.
Andy's so good.
And I think what's really good about Andy is his characters. He does, he blatantly says of what he's doing. Oh no, look at me smash these potatoes with a hammer, Susan, my aunt. And you're just like, Andy, you're hilarious. He actually approached me this last week, and Griff's coming up, Grand Rapids Improv Festival, and he wants to do a two-man show.
Okay.
We're hanging out Sunday. We were going to go down to Kalamazoo. We still might to see a show at Bell's Eccentric Cafe. But if we don't,
Real we'll Big stay. Fish.
Yeah. He wants to go, and if anyone else is interested, he was just going to go by himself. And I'm like, I don't think he should, but now the tickets might be a little pricey, because they are.
$33
plus
fees.
And plus travel, and plus drinks. I do have a free place to stay, so that's an option. But if we can just get drunk here and go to 80s at night at Billy's, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Which I'm talking. But if he really wants to see the show, and I'm not shy with money, especially, like, I live in my parents' basement. I have extra. So, I'm thinking about it. Let's just go. But he wants to do a two-man show, and I'm going to talk to him this Sunday to see what he wants to do, because I think us doing a show called The Characters, and because I'm trying to play with developing characters, he was like, he did this, like, smoky grandma at the show on Fictional Friends.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was.
At 9:30 p.m. at Mulligan's every week.
And it was pretty. This one went really well, I thought. Instead, yeah. I thought Logboard was a
really good
shit show. Everyone was shitty, though. Drunk.
The end got a little.
There
was an audience member who was constantly talking loudly.
Oh.
Uncle, whatever.
Yeah, it was someone's relative, it turned out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But. Pierogies. That was the last scene. We're no longer doing pierogies. You get heckles in any format of stand-up or comedy if there's booze too readily available.
Yeah.
But that's something that you might want to be on the lookout for Griff or at Comedy Outlet Mondays. I don't know if it's going to be called The Characters, but anything Andy wants to do, I'm willing to purchase. So that's new for me.
Nice.
Other than that, nothing. And the Grandcast right now.
Thegrandcast.com.
Ba-da-da-boo.
Do you prefer improv stand-up, because you also have done stand-up, or sketch comedy, for performing and for watching?
Interesting. So I've talked to a few people about the differences, and I'm going to right now keep sketch and improv in the same category and stand-up in a different one.
Okay.
And then I'll break those down. But the people that are involved in both, sketch and improv, you have these people that are like, they know the world's terrible, but they put a smile on, they say, fuck it, let's just be happy and let's make it a better place for other people by pretending together. That's all it is. And then, so it's these people that are trying to perform comedy as a cohesive group. Now, stand-up is an egocentric kind of comedy, because you have to, like I said, anyone can do stand-up, but you have to be, in a way, cocky. You have to have an ego that you want to stroke, and it sucks sometimes. I won't get to the sucky part yet. So there's, you want to stroke the ego. So you sign up and you do your 5 to 10 minutes, wherever you're at. And the thing about the big difference is sketch and improv, you have this cohesiveness of a team. Stand up, you have 10 comedians on a show doing 5 minutes each, and none of them really want to work together, it seems like, in a stand-up fashion. A lot of them will collaborate outside of it, but the negativity that they bring in their own personality and mood in some aspects of the way, they down-talk people, they insult people in not creative ways sometimes, and then they talk how terrible their lives are, which can be hilarious. I mean, it can be really hilarious. I've had terrible things happen to me, and I will talk about it on stage, and I will build it into an awesome, hilarious story. But in the end, it's about me having a terrible time. But and when I do stand up, unlike sketch, I will try to walk off before anyone can say good job. I don't like I get your jollies. I get my jollies while I'm on stage. After, like, that's when I'm in my stand-up zone. But when I leave stage, I want to be left alone. I just drained all myself out to be in front of a crowd of drunks, maybe, or of just comedians that have seen me do the same 5 minutes for the last year and a half. And they don't want to see that anymore. They don't want to laugh at it. It's not new. So I do like to do improv and sketch more than stand-up. I miss stand-up because I miss telling my stories. I miss the personal connection I get with the audience in that form. And it's just stand up seems more of a challenge to me, and it's just you. I do plan, if I say it on here, it's going to have to happen, plan out and rent out Wealthy. I have to meet with them.
Wealthy Theater.
I have an ego. Obviously I'm a performer. I got my bachelor's in dance. Just let's say that I've been an Odyssey mine. I like attention. My girlfriend gave me a hard time the other day because I updated my profile picture with that photo and said, caption this. Mm. And I just showed her, and she looked at me. She's like, you love attention so much. And I was like, yeah, I do. I thrive on it. And it's, I don't know if it's because of my ADHD and like growing up and like the middle child, but I love attention. So this March, I want to rent out Wealthy Theater for a Friday show to record my stand-up album. Because as much as I haven't been doing stand-up at open mics, I believe I have 40 to 50 minutes of material, and I can clean it up and organize it by then. Do I have to go in front of an open mic audience and practice my 5 minutes at a open mic that's just comedians? I don't believe so. I feel like Louis C.K., like, he does a lot of comedy in stand-up places, but he does them at solid rooms. He's not going to a crappy open mic at Cousins while there's a pool league going on. You know what I mean? It's not, yeah. I'm not saying it's crappily run or it was crappily ran, but the fact that it's not a comedy room. And when people pay for comedy, they're more likely to be happy they're seeing it, especially if you're not too offensive, or if you are offensive, have structure to it and bring them to it. So I forgot what I was talking about because I went on stand up too long. Basically, I'm saying I like improv sketch better, but I do plan to rent out Wealthy. And I plan to try to get KJ and the Funky Bunch. They're a bringer, and I need a bringer. I'm not going to lie. Wealthy, and budget-wise, if you get into the business, it makes more sense to rent out Wealthy because you can make more there with the audience seating than you can at any other theater in town.
A lot of seats.
If you can even sell 100 of those seats at a better price, you get more profit than you would at another theater. But it costs the higher risk, higher investment, you know?
Sure.
And I would just reinvest it into my sketch group or other comedy and like have patches, have other things to sell and give out for the name of Late Night GR. That's my sitcom or other things like that. Nice. Improv. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I said nice.
Okay. Improv and sketch. Improv to me helps develop sketch without, and that's the second style of thought. And IO is all about the improv. And then my theory is, not theory, I use that, I've been using that term a lot. My girlfriend gives me a hard time. I have a theory that this water in this cup is, and she's like, stop using that. I say hi, I have a theory a lot, and I just did it and I caught myself, so I'm going to stop. Improv and sketch. I like them both. Sketch, if I was with, I'm not saying late night's not bad, but we're not always that together and rehearsing. so it's not as clean. Improv, you don't have to worry about that. You can just go in balls deep and just forget about life. So in a way, I like improv more, but I like the thoughts and efforts and the almost political stuff you can sprinkle into stand-up. Or I mean sketch comedy. Or the randomness, like Mighty Pythons, Silly Walks. Mm. That could have started off as an improvised sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they developed it into that. And I'm just... I have a couple ideas like those, and they're just ridiculous. I love the ridiculousness of improv.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for asking. I didn't think I was going to go in that in depth.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know how these work. Do they have to be
high? You're actually supposed to like hold them both and then like in the same direction and ding them together.
Oh.
Sean Francis taught me that.
I thought they were little like monkey symbols for your pinkies.
You can do that too, yeah.
It wasn't working. I tried.
Oh.
That works too. All right.
What are some of your all-time favorite comedic movies?
Comedic movies. I like Brendan Fraser when he was not where he is now. Most of his movies. Growing up, comedic. If it's all-time right now, this is a hard question.
Hmm. Only if you're thoughtful.
Only if you're thoughtful. That's, and I don't want to say like a bad, like now I'm just like, ooh, I don't want to say a bad movie. Well, I mean, comedic movies, Aladdin's a musical comedic movie about a princess and a street rat.
Mm-hmm.
And anything Robin Williams was in, except the most recent stuff, unless it was on Louis C.K., because that was so dark and dry, but beautiful. But my favorite comedy movies, I grew up watching Robin Williams and Jackie Chan. We talked about Jackie Chan's a comedian. He's a martial artist comedian. I feel like I should mention other. I hate that I can't pick one of Robin. I mean, Jumanji's hilarious, and it's just Robin. He's just a charming man. I wish I could talk with him. Other Jim Carrey movies. Oh, there you go. Mm. The ridiculousness of what's it called?
Liar, liar.
Liar, liar. I was doing
Dumber.
What?
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. Ace Ventura and Liar, Liar. And then
Truman Show.
Truman Show makes me cry every time.
Yeah,
I love it. It makes me cry. When he's on the boat and he's just screaming, I just can't. But that's one of the movies men can cry to. Sex, like. I was gonna make
Me, Myself, and Irene.
That's the one I was gonna say that people don't give enough credit to.
It's so good.
He like his performance as both characters.
Yeah, probably my favorite movie from him.
I wish he did more stuff like that, which I think he has. I mean, in Living Color, Jim Carrey on that was a great.
Eternal Sunshine.
I've only seen that twice, and I don't remember that well. It's one of those movies that you have to sit and pay attention to,
Yeah.
I haven't done that with that one. There's a lot of movies like that, but that one I specifically haven't. I'm just trying Mrs. Doubtfire, but that's Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost a horror movie. yeah, I guess I can't just pick a movie. I would pick more of the performers in the movie. Or the directors or the writers. And their style of writing. Like even Nightmare Before Christmas is a comedy.
Mm.
What's yours, if you don't mind? Does anyone ask you?
It's not how this works.
Okay.
Next question.
Yep.
What are some of your all-time favorite TV shows?
All that and Living Color, Saturday Night Live. But growing up, Rocko's Modern Life. I hated Ren and Stimpy. My brother made me watch it. Beavis and Butthead, I hated. Couldn't stand watching. But now I understand them a little better. All Our Monsters, Rugrats, mostly cartoons. Currently, Rick and Morty, everyone loves it.
Oh,
you could
gosh.
Just throw a tag on or hashtag on this, and the people are going to click because this is Rick and Morty.
Hashtag season 3.
Ooh, I saw the clips. I haven't watched all season 2 because I don't know where to watch it.
Oh.
And pay money. I don't want to pay. I just want to watch it.
Yeah. Hulu, maybe?
We have.
I don't know. It's somewhere.
If I do start it, I do want my girlfriend Katrina to sit down and watch it with me because it's going to be hard to get her into it. But once she's into it, you can't get out of Rick and Morty.
No, and you have to watch it over and over and over to find all the little things that are going on. Morty. Background.
Adventure Time, of course. There's another one on Cartoon Network. It has those guy with the head that is a bubblegum machine.
Not Adventure Time. Regular
show. Regular show. That one's ridiculous. And the absurdity of the shows make me love them.
Yeah.
Live shows, I mean, what was the question again?
All-time favorite TV shows.
Scrubs. Scrubs is probably, it's a drama comedy. And every episode you're like, oh, this is going to be fun to watch. And then at the end you're almost crying. Like, what do you mean Brendan Fraser's character? No spoilers, I won't say it. But watch Scrubs. I'm mad that it's not on Netflix anymore, but it is on Hulu. So you have to deal with commercials.
Oh.
Yeah. Seinfeld is now one of my favorites. Chappelle's Show.
Seinfeld's on Crackle. They put a few episodes up every month and you can watch it for free, but there's ads.
Oh, so Hulu has ads too, and they have the whole series. Cause,
oh.
Yeah, they. I think when Hulu, they paid a few million or more than that to get the exclusive rights to it consistently.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other TV shows. I don't want to miss any. It's like I'm thinking the writers are listening to this, and I'm like, well, he didn't say my show. I'm like, I'm Alistair J. Watt. I'm a small comedian in Grand Rapids. And I'm worried that someone's like, he didn't say that one. He's dead to me.
What streaming shows are you currently watching?
Can you elaborate a little more on that question for me? I don't know if I'm watching any is the answer, but that's why I want you to.
Just any show that's on Netflix or Hulu or YouTube or Amazon Prime or HBO or.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. I basically don't watch any cable now. All I do is watch Amazon, Netflix, or Hulu because we have all three and I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I already said I love Jackie Chan, so you know I love martial arts and Jason Statham. Mm-hmm. So I am in love with the Netflix Marvel series of Daredevil, Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones is probably the best one out of the Marvel series. The whole villain being, I forgot his act. He was in that one Doctor Who show as a Doctor 11 or something. But it is spectacular. If you haven't seen Jessica Jones, I almost would love to just, if I could talk about Jessica Jones and Daredevil for 3 hours a day, I would.
I don't like Marvel, so we're going to move on now.
Whoa, let's get into Iron Fist, because that has been critiqued really a lot, and I actually really enjoyed it after watching the second time. Do you not like Marvel?
I don't like Marvel.
You're a DC person then, or neither?
I like DC.
So you're not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all?
No, I like just Batman mostly.
Batman's pretty sweet, but he's basically just Iron Man, not an iron suit. I won't say that again. Iron Man's parents weren't killed by the Joker. But then again, that's only in certain comics. But all right, I'll give you that. We don't other streaming shows that I watch. I just started watching Mr. Robot.
Oh, that is a mind fuck.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, it is what? And then it's like, wait, it's just what? And I was watching that today, and that's been driving me insane.
Season one?
Yeah.
All right. Season two starts a little rough, but it gets there in the end.
So stick with it. I have no idea where it's going.
You're in for a ride.
So that's my current obsession is Mr. Robot.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the actor. I want to see him in so much more.
The lead?
Yeah.
Was it Rami Malek?
I have no idea his name.
Yeah.
I just want to call him what I know him to be calling him now.
Mr. Robot?
Yeah. That's a spoiler.
Oh.
It's after episode 9. You figured that out.
What is a joke?
I feel like there's two ways to answer this question. First one is to explain exactly what a joke is. The second way is to tell a joke. I don't know what you're asking, but I think that's part of the question.
Hmm.
Is it part of the... Or do you just want me to answer? Is that part of the question?
You can interpret it however you'd like.
One of my favorite jokes I tell, which doesn't always go over well. It's more of a story. Most of my... It's a quicker. It's a quick.
I think I know which one.
Is it the dreams?
Oh.
Oh, which one were you going to... Which one did you think? He's seen me do stand-up before. You can say it. I don't want...
Please.
Most of my stand-up jokes are mostly from real-world experience. And that way, I feel like they're original and I can develop them as I want. And then sprinkle in real like puns and jokes and bump them up as needed. Because a lot of the people I see do stand-up, I'm like, oh, I've seen that meme before. There was one time I saw stand-up at Sunday Night Funnies. This guy went up stage. My friend was laughing so hard. And he's like, this guy's hilarious. I'm sitting there stone cold and I'm on my phone. And he's like, what are you doing on your phone? This guy's funny. And I hand him my phone and it's his script. It's literally just internet jokes. And he's verbatim doing this page.
Wow.
And that's another reason I tell stories. And I try to come up with original concepts. Then I see it done 2 weeks later better from a guy that saw me do them. Not saying that's always the case. But anyway, in this one, it's a real thing that happened. I had a dream. It was a pretty crappy dream. I was serving in the restaurant industry like most of my life. And then suddenly it got better, you know. Justin Timberlake's walk-in. Yeah, I said plural. There's two of them. We have now Justin and like old 90s Justin. And I was like, oh, hey, Justins. And they said, hey, Al. But, you know, they said it together in sync and all. And I was like, do you guys want to do a hot dog eating contest? And they're like, hell yeah, we want to do a hot dog eating contest. And I was like, I'll be right back. I go to get the hot dogs. There's one left. And then I wake up. So that's the dream portion. And then I go and I wake up and now, and nothing against it, but I have a dance degree. I'm thinking maybe I'm gay. Because the only way I think that dream can end is a Lady in the Tramp three-way with one hot dog. And I mean, I'm going to kiss Justin's. That's a great story. And I go to my brother and I'm like, Sean, and I remember him coming up the stairs and me in the cupboard in my parents' house. I'm like, Sean, I had this dream, and I tell him the dream. I'm like, do you think I'm gay? And he's like, what? I was like, the only way that dream could end is a Lady in the Tramp three-way style. He's like, I think the only thing gay about it is that's how you think it would end. And that's basically the joke. And it's true. I said that to my brother. The NSYNC part, which I love. I said on stage in Ohio by accident. And then I stopped myself, looked at everyone and was like, did you hear me? I just said Justin and Justin said hi, Al, but NSYNC and all. That was probably the smartest thing I've said on stage in a long time. And I had to explain to them that it was the first time. And I think got second place in that competition. But yeah, that's a joke. And a joke is something that has a beginning, middle, and end. And that makes you express a gut expulsion through your mouth. It's a similar feeling between screaming at a horror movie. You don't expect to do it, but you know you're going to do it because you went to a horror movie. You went to a comedy show. You're going to gasp a sort of air that could be like, ah! Or, ha, ha! And then you're like, I didn't know I was going to do that hard. And that's what a joke is to me. Something that makes someone do that and makes them feel happy. So I answered both because I thought it was a trick question.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about dance.
Yeah. You just want me to talk about it, or do you want to have like a conversation about it?
Pretty much I'm asking you to please talk about it.
Okay.
I don't have a lot to contribute on this front.
Oh, it's all right. No, that's, not a lot of people do, especially males. Mailmen don't know much about dancing. They just deliver their mail. Another joke that wasn't good. In second grade, I started taking tap dance. Before that, my sister was taking dance there as like a 5-year-old Academy Dance Arts. It's near Alpine in Comstock Park. I was causing ruckus. I did a thing where you would take the coffee sugar and pour it into your water cup and stir it, and then you would have sugar water. And I would do this with two of the other kids that were hanging out while their sisters were in dance class. My mom repeatedly was like, Al, you should take dance class. Finally, they got me with some metal shoes, and I was like, those seem pretty cool.
Like, so they were entirely made out of metal, or?
They had metal plates on the bottom. They're tap shoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, those are cool. I want to wear those. They make sound. So they signed me up for the all-boys class, which had two brothers, twins. I believe they're twins.
Or two one. Brothers?
Yeah. They're brothers, and then I'm the extra. Oh, funny.
So Rick and Morty.
Oh, two. See, I need to get caught up. But the funny thing is about one of the brothers, he does stand-up now in the local Michigan comic stand-up scene. Oh. And he works at Wolfgang's at the breakfast place. He's a chef. And he was like, Al, it's me. And I haven't seen him since probably third grade. I had no idea what he grew into. Mm. So I started dancing with them. And then I saw that they were on stage when I wasn't. And like I already expressed, I like attention and I like movement because I have to keep moving. They were doing jazz, and I looked at my mom and I said, why am I not doing that? And then I did jazz dance, and I did jazz and tap, and then I added hip hop until freshman year of high school. This whole time, no one at my school knew I danced. We kept it a secret. I didn't know why I kept it a secret, but I was like, I don't want anyone to know. And because you're that young, you don't know. You just know that's not what you should be doing. Like when Doug took ballet, he didn't want anyone to know. And then he found out, and then Skeeter and everyone took ballet. Like it was a good episode. But they taught me in my cartoons taught me you don't want people to know that you're a dancer. And then freshman year, I signed up to do ballet. Because it was a requirement to be on the competitions teams. And I was in partnering dance as well. Whereas actually I met one of my first girlfriends. Comically enough. Eighth grade, we had a talent show. And I decided to do my group routine hip-hop dance. It was a group routine, mind you, where sometimes I wasn't dancing. I would just squatted on the ground. And you know what I did when I did it as a solo? I squatted for 2 8 counts because it wasn't my turn to dance. There was a toe touch in it. Yeah, a hip-hop piece with a toe touch.
What's a toe touch?
A toe touch is when you jump and your toes come up, each leg on each side, and you touch your toes with your hands in the air. Mm. Like a split, but it's not very split. You can cheat it, but I do a toe touch in the routine. After the talent show, I mean, I got applause, of course. It's a guy in eighth grade doing dance in front of his whole school, which is as comical as you think, especially when he's not moving for 2 of the 8 counts multiple times. One of the girls, Kristen Fleechak, came up to me and was like, you should join the cheerleading team because of my toe touch. Hmm. And they don't allow male cheerleaders in high school. Sexism. Is it reversed? Because they don't allow it. It's because we are strength and we can lift them up and we can do... I mean, they have strength too. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anyone to twist my words. And then all my friends freshman year and my band group, because I had a bunch of guy friends I would play Heroclix with, Mage Knight, Pokemon cards, Magic the Gathering, they would proceed to call me a faggot or you gay son of a bitch. They would get pretty harsh in the words, but it was all fun to them. And to me, that was one of the hardest years of my life, even though I was just bullied. It was just classic bully. Just like, you can deal with it. You're just being bullied a little bit. It did make me stronger for me to choose my bachelor's in dance in the future, because it was funny. They were making fun of me for a thing that, like, I had an anger issue growing up. I broke a metal broom over my brother. I didn't know how to contain or handle any emotions. Dance was a very much an outlet for me. Ballet was so structured and mentally, like, the physicality and the mentally that go, like, mentality that goes with it. Getting those two things together to move and to realize what you're doing was exactly what I needed to do to get rid of my anger and everything I had growing up, because it was an expression. I could express myself through movement. And it was funny because they would bully me, and the only thing that would stop my sadness and anger would be going to the thing they bully me about. Long story short, I found a girlfriend through it, brought her to Swirl, made out with her, dated her for a couple of years. I didn't get treated the best. I probably didn't treat her the best. I didn't know anything. She took everything from me. Boom, 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 boom. This is the first of everything. My first kiss and everything. And then I went to CMU to major in theater. Dance of the Haunt. They told me I should audition at Western. They gave me a scholarship for dance, and I have a bachelor's in dance. And I danced with Third Coast Dance Company recently at Talk Story Theater.
How did the... Shmershmorshin dance go?
Shmershmorshin? Oh, the one about... Oh, yeah. Well, I changed it about the mundane of... We can change it to the mundane of waiting in line is all what life is about. Because I have a theory life is about waiting in lines and finding someone that you care enough about to just sit down and eat with multiple times a day. Mm. It's finding your significant other that you're fine with. I can deal with you and I can eat a pizza. waiting in line dance basically... I would restart the dance every 30 seconds to 3 minutes and basically go to the back of a line and basically like, oh, you made it to front. Too bad. You got to go restart. It's like a video game Mario. Like, you, once you die all your lives, you're back at the beginning of the game, or Link on the original Nintendo Zelda didn't have a saving option. So you had to play through a 5 to 25 hour doubt, like, if you didn't know where anything was. So that's what the dance was kind of inspired by. And most of my dances are either supposed to be dark and demented and twisted with some, like, satirical, like, comedy in the background. Or it's a comedy, and I want you to laugh, and I want you to feel weird about it. But it went well the second night. First night, my girlfriend was the only one that laughed, but she knew.
Hmm.
The second night, they Stevie was teching, and the tech didn't go right away. So I came on stage thinking the tech would, and I had a whole little thing about putting the stool for 3 minutes on the stage, and then went to my position, and then the music wouldn't start, and I just started moving my arms and improvising. And that's one thing I think I like about dance and comedy is improv.
Hmm.
And then I eventually like broke my whole dance and went back to the stool. I was like, are you still okay? Okay. The stool's good, everyone. Bow to the stool. But it went well.
When you played Magic, what color decks did you play?
I like dragons. I like dragons and worms.
Red, so green?
I'm not much of a green guy. I wasn't. I was more anything. I would have multicolored decks and it wouldn't always work. I wasn't good. I had an obsession with the dragons and worms. I used to wear dragon necklaces with a red jewel that you would get from a gas station. Yeah, I was a pretty cool kid. But Magic, if I had to choose, it's probably going to be water. Or not the fire trolls. There's not planes. I hated planes. What is that? Swamp was my brother's, not mine. Water and what else is there?
Some red, blue, white, green, black.
It'd probably be green and blue. So you were pretty much on it.
Let's talk about beer.
Yeah, I love beer. It's great talk.
Yeah.
Do you like beer? We're currently drinking
Kentucky Breakfast Stout from 2016.
I never knew that's what KBS stood for.
Oh. The more you know.
Beer is I didn't always like beer. I didn't like drinking at all. My brother has a drinking problem, so I didn't drink the first year of college.
Hmm.
I saw what happened to him, and he was angry drunk, and I assumed I would be too. And then I got a shot of tequila poured in me, and a couple Bud Lights later, I was happy as can be. So I'm a pretty happy drunk, and then after I learned that, in college, all you do is drink cheap beer. Not anymore, though. I feel like they have now changed. Like, I work at craft brewing places mostly, and you now see a bunch of early 20-year-olds coming in for craft beer. And I'm like, at 21, I was getting shots of vodka and squirting Mio in it. Like, I didn't understand what... I drank Dirty Bastard, because it was the one that had the highest ABV.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's why I usually looked for the highest ABV beer. And now realizing that's just a Scotch ale, basically, or a KBS, or something bourbon age or barrel age. I'm currently studying for my Cicerone, and I'm hoping to take the test in November.
And what is Cicerone?
Cicerone, the easiest way to put it, is a sommelier of beer. You can taste the beer, and it's like, you can figure out if it's infected, you can figure out what kind of hops are in it, you can figure out what style of beer it is. And what it is for other people that aren't trying to be a Cicerone is supposed to be a guide to help you find what you like to drink. Because some people say they don't like beer. I beg to differ. You don't like wine? I beg to differ. We can find something you like. That's our goal. The goal isn't for you to buy the most expensive bottle, like, oh, this 2014 barrel age Kentucky Bourbon Scout. I'm going to say Scout. I'm going to keep that. If you don't like this, you are a dumbass. No, you don't like that. That's fine. You can like PBR. I like PBR. You can like some...
You do?
Should I not say that in public record? Do you like Rolling Rock? Do you like Bud Light?
No, last time I drank Rolling Rock was at Easttown Sports Bar, and I had the shits the next day.
That happens.
I don't know if it was from the atmosphere or the beer or what, but...
Easttown Sports Bar, check it out.
Yeah, or not.
Yeah.
Unless they want to sponsor the podcast, in which case,
bing, boom, bing, boom,
we can discuss.
Do you have sponsors?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't mention them in the show at all, but
that's fine. I mean,
yeah,
I don't, maybe like, I don't know if it's on the website somewhere, if you have a website or a Facebook page.
Thegrandcast.com.
Oh, Grandcast.com.
Sponsored by Boof, the drinking game. Boofthegame.com.
Boof.
Also sponsored by ChrisN.org.
ChrisM.org.
ChrisN.
At ChrisN.org. Oh, these are great sponsors.
Yeah, .org. And
hopefully we can make Late Night GR a sponsor eventually.
Founding member comedy.
Oh, founding member. Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't like light beer?
I enjoy light beer. Like, I like Kolsch beers.
Okay, you like... Okay, which is great.
Those are very nice. I like lagers.
You... But,
I like Pilsners.
Do you like Budweiser?
I... Do you not if like... I drink one normal Budweiser, I enjoy the taste of it.
Okay.
Like, if it's cold and it's a hot day, I enjoy the taste of Budweiser. So, but if I have to drink more than one of them, it gets old fast.
Okay.
Or if it warms up, not so good.
So most mainstream light beers like PBR, Budweiser,
Bud Light. Beers are
and
worthless.
They have adjuncts. They have the rice. 40 to 50% of the beer is not grain.
Well,
yeah, that's it's just cheaper to get to sugars, and they're more malleable by the other malts. Because original base malt has enough enzymes to create the sugars that you can have in rice or even other style of specialty malts. This is just me saying I know knowledge and I want people to know. I'm learning. I'm new. Yeah.
But light beers are like the hand job of beers. Like,
they're old fashioned's pretty good.
Not really going to turn it down, but it's not what you want. And sometimes it's better to go without.
Yeah.
Like, just wait for another
sometimes
day.
Sometimes it's going to be rough if you do it.
You can have a...
A nice, classic, you know, aged beer.
Yeah.
Something that has thoughtful and care. And that's what I like about Michigan craft beer is the artistry that is going into a lot of it. They're experimenting with a lot here. Founders is a barreled age series. They just had their Doom release. It's a barreled age IPA, which I completely disagree with. IPA is about the freshness of the hops. The longer an IPA is on the shelf, the less hop flavor. Making it barrel aged, for me, I got almost no hop. I mean, that's just me. And you get the bourbon or the barrel itself. I don't even know if it's a bourbon barrel. Kind of takes over and makes it more of a maltier beer with maybe a subtle hop taste. Have you had Doom? Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Tom Hunt shared one with me.
And now, would you want to label it an IPA, though? Or would you say basically a barrel aged pale ale?
I don't know.
Then again,
I don't like labels. Yeah. It was a delicious beer. I'll label it delicious.
It's a delicious beer. I would give it that. That's me being too... And that's what I hate about the Cicerone concept is...
you have to put things in little buckets.
You become an asshole. But that's not what it's about. It's about finding what you like. And I love beer. I hate the calories in beer, so I always go for liquor over beer. That's why a lot of the studying is new to me, because I would always go, I can just drink a Red Bull vodka and get where I need to go.
Turnt?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the term.
I plan to do that at Billy's this Sunday, 80s night.
Great.
If we stay in town, Andy.
Yeah, I would go to that.
Fuck, yeah. See, that's I haven't been to one in four ages. I mean, four ages? In ages.
Four ages?
In four ages.
That's almost an eon.
Almost an eon.
What does it mean to be a comedian?
To be a comedian means you know how to deal with your ups and downs in a thoughtful process and to arrange your thoughts in a thoughtful way. I use the word thought 5 times in the sentence and deliver that to an audience. It also means you can write funny stuff. Brad Wenzel. I performed with him at a club in Lansing that's no longer there. Brad has been on Conan twice. Brad is hilarious, but he's not everyone's comedian, but to me, he's one of my heroes. He has a joke. This is Brad Wenzel. I'm quoting. I'm doing a karaoke version of Brad Wenzel. You know why you can't have sex in Olive Gardens? Because when you're there, you're family.
Ooh.
And no, but then he'll go to his next joke. They're all like these clever one-liners that I'm pretty meta with sketch, but improv, I mean, I'm stand-up, I'm like, that's the joke. That's writing a joke. So that a comedian is anyone, even if you're a class clown, unless you're a bully. If you're a bully, you're not a comedian. You are just strictly a bully. Mm-hmm. If you're insulting someone's intelligence for a reason that is not justified, for like if someone's heckling you, yeah, get at them. But if you're being mean to a specific group without justifying it or about developing it, you're not a comedian. You're a bully. Mm-hmm. And I've seen bullies or self-strokers, which all comedians are self-strokers, we're ego-centered people. But to be a comedian, humble, I want to say you have to be humble, which is hard because you also got to stroke yourself and be happy. Like, it's okay. Everyone can stroke themselves. And you have to be good at it. And people say you have to put in your dues. You have to do all the open mics. You have to go 5 days a week. You have to do the same 5 minutes for 3 to 5 years. I disagree. You do the same jokes. They land. They don't land one time. Fine. If they never land, stop doing them. Get a new joke. That doesn't work. Don't do the same 5 minutes if it's not working. Change it up. That's for stand-up, but anyone can be a comedian, I believe. It just takes the passion and drive and the time to put in the effort.
What is your motivation for performing comedy?
I like attention. No, I have a theory in life that it's sad and people don't know how to communicate with each other anymore. I'm not going to be the old person. I'm 28 this next month. I'm not an old person. Am I? Where people are not communicating or understanding how emotions work anymore a lot of the time, or we're never taught how emotion works. So my way and why I think what your original question is, what makes, I forgot what it was.
What is your motivation?
To make someone feel something, as an artist in general, dance or comedy. I don't care if it's laughter or awkwardness or I made you sad. Not if I insulted you, but if I just made you sad and feel sad. Because a lot of times we will hide and alienate ourselves from our own emotions. So for us to do comedy and me to be a comedian, and even if I... There was one instance at CMU where I was in To Fool the Eye. I actually gave up a Disney job to do it because, one, you get blacklisted if you get casted and you ditch it for the next semester. So she said she would let you strut your stuff. I barely did any dancing. I wasn't a good dancer then. I'm not a fantastic dancer. I'm a creative dancer. But she told me and she strutting me stuff. One time, the show basically starts off with me doing a 3-minute weird solo, like as a gypsy, introducing them to the show. One time, I saw an old lady all the way to the left of the auditorium smiling and laughing at me. And out of that, like, she made it worth it. Because I made her feel, I made her enjoy that she came out to the show. If she was crying because she was so emotionally connected. So I think I'm going to sum it up with, I just want people to be emotionally connected to themselves and to others. And this is an outlet for me to make them do it without them realizing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the questions. I didn't know there'd be so many questions.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I'm not a long-winded talker, but obviously I am.
There's a little social lubricant going on also.
There is. And I had 2 beers beforehand. They were light beers. It was Dos Equis and a other shitty beer that I put a lime in.
That's how you know a beer is good, when you squeeze a lime in it.
Yep. This just needs more lime.
What is the best gift that you have ever received?
Best gift I've ever received, besides the love of a friend and the love of a companion. Cheesy, I know. But I'm hard to buy gifts for. I'm the worst. I can buy things. I can go buy things. There was a girl I was dating who's no longer with us, and I miss her dearly. She got me, when I started substitute teaching, a substitute teaching sack lunch prepared bag with Crayola crayons, a little eraser, just basically stuff you need in school. And it was, I haven't had someone do something like that thoughtful for me in a long time. And for us not even be together and just being friends, she got that for me. I was like, this is, and she's like, I'm sorry, this isn't like money. I'm like, I don't care if you buy me anything. Anyone can buy anything with money unless it's a vacation. If you hand me a ticket to Japan right now, that's the best gift I got. That's a experience I cannot give away. But just the thoughtfulness of that. And my brother got me a notebook once He got me a notebook with a pen with ink for 7 years for stand-up. And I looked at him, and he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know what to give you. I was like, this is thoughtful! So I like thoughtful gifts. And I just love people to show interest and care for one another, especially when it's me, because I love attention.
What is the best gift that you have ever given?
I gave a promise ring when I was 16 once. This is probably the worst gift I've ever given. Another one is I made pesto for Valentine's Day in high school with no protein, because her favorite pasta was pesto. And I thought that would be a great Valentine's Day. She's like, where's the food? She didn't treat. Anyway, the worst gift I've given, besides ones where I'm just stupid and I don't understand what gifts are. The best gift or
best?
What?
Best. Best.
An experience I shared with my current girlfriend, Katrina, experience where we both just took a week with each other on a vacation. That one did cost money, but at the same time, in my theory, like we're new together and I taken a vacation with someone and just, this sounds egotistical because it's like expensive, but at the same time, like that was a big thing for me. I've never been on a vacation to share that with that person. And all we did was drink and other things. It was a lot of fun, and we have a lot of new memories from it. But other than that, a physical gift that I've given someone, a teddy bear is a teddy bear, a flower is a flower. Like, a card's a card. A card to my father recently is probably one of the better ones. My other siblings didn't give him a card for Father's Day. I bought two because I thought they both were funny, and then I didn't give them to him for 2 days. So it looked like I just bought them because no one got him cards, but they were both funny because we've all been to jail, and one was about jail. And then there was one just saying the thoughtful memories we've had. So it's always about them. I will go back to the gifts I've received. I think me giving them a memory of a memory to remember is probably the best gifts I've given people.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you formed a band, what would the name of the band be?
Weird Al. No, I don't know. I'm not going to lie on that one. I've never really thought about it. Maybe when I was in high school, when I was in jazz band and marching band. If I opened a brewery, I would call it Cab, C-A-B, crap, another brewery, and it'd be a comedy club. But a band, crap, another band, isn't. Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
So Cab. We'll go with Cab.
All right.
I just...
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Who are some of your role models?
Ugh.
Oh.
I don't know. I hate these questions. Of not all of them, just the role models style question.
We can skip it.
I mean, my dad. I'll just say my dad.
Okay.
He's been married twice, and he's been with my mom, and he raised three wonderful kids, and I only can aspire to be a father like him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tattoos?
I don't have any. I want one. I almost got one in high school. That was a black light transformer tattoo on the left of my chest. But the artist wouldn't do black light because it thought it went against art. But my thought about artwork is that it's not like... I understand. Like, yeah, it's invisible until it's under a black light. But that isn't that part of the art? Especially the Transformers toys have... You put the heat on the thing and then you can see the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted that. And then I have to get a Snorlax tattoo on my butt.
Decepticon or Autobot?
Autobot.
Okay.
Who's a Decepticon?
I don't know.
Fictional friends.
Mm.
They do seem like Decepticons. Let's just say it. But I did auction off a portion of my ass at Left Fest for $70 to get a Snorlax tattoo. It was they choose any Pokemon they want for about a 2x2 inch on my butt.
Huh.
But I have psoriasis, so I haven't done it because I'm embarrassed. And it's just a little bit. But I still have to get it done by July 22nd.
Oh.
My friend's coming back in town after moving. And he's the one that paid Laugh Fest. And now I have to buy it.
Huh.
So no tattoos, but I like them.
Soon.
Yeah.
Cigarettes?
I only smoke socially or when I'm wasted, which is socially. Or I smoke tobacco pipes once a year to maybe once every 3 years. But I have smoked one the last 3 months, probably three times a month.
Hmm.
So I'm against smoking. My parents smoked all growing up, and I don't think it's a good habit to have. My siblings smoke. They're all chain smokers growing up in a car full of smoke with the windows up, which I'm glad is legal now, was not ideal. I'm not a good sprinter. I'm a good sprinter. I'm not good long distance. I bring it to myself because I like attention.
What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
I love New Beginnings. No, I went there once with my dad. It's greasy. It's good. It's good breakfast food. It's classic diner. But my favorite restaurants, Maru has a... I go there for the $3 to $6 sushi.
Oh.
Yeah. No, did I say Maru? I meant Rockwell's. I also love Maru sushi.
Maru is opening a new place on Bridge. It's Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese.
Oh, is that the Okima? Or
something like
that. The one right by New Holland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They're hiring, if anyone's interested. Every restaurant's hiring, by the way. But I hated sushi growing up, but now I like it. And Rockwell's has a ridiculous sushi happy hour. Other favorite restaurants, half off Applebee's, I'm not going to lie. I'm a corporate entity at Outback Steakhouse. The ribeyes are delicious, but I rather go to places with craft food. I don't like Reuben's, but I will get them if it's on the menu just to see if it was better than the last one until I like one. Founders has all right Reuben. I think you
had Marie Catrives?
No. Marie Catrives is a great option, even for gluten and vegetarian people.
Yeah, they do. I've had the Reuben, I think, two times. Very, very good. One time, it was an off day.
Yeah.
It wasn't fantastic, but...
It has to do with the meat sometimes, or the amount of... or whatever.
Yeah, it's like small batch craft food, so yeah, sometimes you get a bad batch.
And that's fine, and it's nothing to complain about. It's nothing to send your food back about and get a refund.
Unless you're a dick.
There's a lot of dicks out there. That's what I do on Snapchat. I send a bunch of dick pics of people I think are dicks to my girlfriend. Like, look at this dick. It's a comedy thing. But yeah.
I didn't love this beer. I'd like to get a different one.
I gave you a sample. I literally gave you a sample and you ordered it and now you're returning it. But yeah, there's a lot of great craft food in Grand Rapids, so it's hard for me to narrow it down. That's why I say corporate restaurants, because everyone knows those ones. Eat GR is a Facebook page, but the funny thing is, if you have more than 7 locations, they won't accept you.
Good.
Yeah, which is, I mean, but isn't the goal of a restaurant, locations. Isn't the goal of being a business owner to build a thing? Like
if you're a capitalist swine.
That's why I love Vivant, because Vivant doesn't want to open any of the locations. They don't want to distribute any more than they want. The owner just wants to do what they're doing. So I guess...
And do it well.
Yeah, and I guess I understand you on that point, but...
And they give their employees a cut of the profits, and they donate a cut of the profits to local charities.
Yes.
They source everything.
There will be...
Not everything, but most things.
Locally.
Very locally.
And they should be doing a nonprofit thing. They do it once a month for nonprofits, but for Dog Story Theater soon. Since I'm on the board now, I'm trying to push it.
Nice.
Yeah.
They also have Stein Night on Mondays,
Can
fill up any container up to a liter.
For $5.
$5.
You know how much a liter is? Look it up.
It's
a decent amount.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
That I can make people feel other emotions like laughter, but also when I bomb, that I am meant with a surreal honesty of myself that it's not always going to work.
What is your favorite thing about watching comedy?
That I'm not doing it and I can just sit back and enjoy someone else either bombing or making funny jokes and being part of the craft. It's like in brewing beer at home is fun, but I dump it out half the time. Drinking a good beer somewhere, it's just nice to appreciate something that you enjoy doing.
The final question of the interview portion. If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
I have strangely thought about this a lot. If you could go back in time and tell yourself something. Don't fuck around. And not like with... like. I'm sorry for cursing. Is that loud? I'm just... It's just who I am. Don't fuck around so much.
You can say fuck.
you should have gone to CC for 2 years instead of CMU and became incredibly immersed in debt. But at the same time, that gave me the path of where I am today, and I'm not mad about it. But I am crippled with student debt, and if I could have avoided that, or if I could have got a job at 16, my parents wouldn't let me work till I was 18. I didn't have a license till I was 18. Parents are overprotective.
Yeah. Crazy.
So my advice is to overcome that and your shyness and understanding. I think I would sit them down and just have a whole conversation about society and how you should socialize, because I didn't realize how to talk to people until I was in college, like senior year or even last year. Every year I look back, I'm like, I said that shit?
Yep.
Yeah. There's one time specifically recently, I told my girlfriend about a time in middle school. I would call this girl named Brittany Holman in sixth grade and hang up on her phone at her parents' house multiple times, probably 20 times for a couple nights, a week, every week. And then I realized that's crazy. And like, I told her that and I was like, she probably told other girls that. That's probably why everyone in school thought I was crazy. But I didn't understand the social constructures of society in the middle school or high school or world until now. And that's why everyone from high school now can be like, hey, you're cool. Just let's not talk about high school and reminisce.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can keep rambling, but let's end this portion. I liked it.
All right. Well, I haven't had time yet to do a transition into the break.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind performing some sort of musical something, like whatever you're feeling, take us into the break. Ring the bell when you're done so I know to stop, please.
Yeah, no, I like that. Let me bring the bell over by me.
Oh.
That's how the bell will sound.
It's over.